Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond today. I've known Don for about 40 years. Don't admit the years sometimes. Known him for about 40 years. Loves the Lord, an avid Christian businessman that's willing to give of his time, talent, ability in serving the Lord through civil government. And Don had served the city of Jacksonville some 8 years, a few years ago, as city councilman. He's running again for that position. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what God gives us in His Word, the responsibility to do. We'll look at that text in a little while. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, it gives the specificity in how we're to select men to place in civic leadership in our cities, in our states, in our nation. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. Do you have any questions that Don can answer for you? Do you have any suggestions for his candidacy? What would you like to ask? What would you like to say to him? What input would you like to give? He is here today for the specific purpose of letting you know what he's going to do, how he's going to manage the position when he's elected, and allowing you to ask the questions so that he can understand if you have any questions about your district, District 4. But keep in mind, when we elect a city council person to represent us, regardless of the district that he's in, he represents the entire city. And Don will be representing all of us in our city, may not in your particular district, but he will be recognized as being the representative for each and every one of us in our city. Just before our break, I touched on the fact that Louis Gohmert, you heard his name mentioned at the top of the news about his now being quarantined for COVID-19. Louis is a great guy. I've had the privilege to meet him, talk with him, have dialogue and discussion with him in relationship to what's happening in America. Louis Gohmert says, Democrat strategy is to keep America in turmoil, to make it easier to dump Trump. Gohmert says it appears that Democrats don't care about letting America heal because they want political advantage in the election. Further in the article, Gohmert said, this strategy is if we can keep America in turmoil, the riots, the economic problems, the COVID has caused, it's better for getting rid of Donald Trump rather than reelecting him. Gohmert made the comments following another night of rioting and lawlessness in more than a half dozen cities on Saturday, with the mayhem including damage to the federal buildings, a local police precinct, and a deadly shooting in Austin, Texas. Quote, it's sad, but it appears Democrats don't care much about letting America heal because they want the political advantage that they seek from seeing America devastated just so they can get back into power. That's horrendous, Gohmert said. Republicans never felt that way and still do not even today, Gohmert tells us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the exact target. If we can focus on this for a moment, Don, I believe Gohmert is exactly right, that the focus is not to heal America, not to help America, not to squelch the rioting, the thuggery in the streets, but to allow it to run rampant, to keep the focus off the reelection of President Trump so that he will be defeated on November the 3rd. I don't have anything that could be more horrific, ladies and gentlemen, than to have a political party that could care less about the safety and security of Americans as long as they can regain power and be in control. They are power hungry. And God help us as a nation, if Joe Biden gets into office, God help us if the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party gets back into power in the House and the Senate and the executive office, we will never, ever, ever go back to a two-party, two-system of government in America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question and comment, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Youngblood, we've woke up in America, the conservatives, and we see a lot of things that we just didn't think. But isn't one of the things now here in Jacksonville, we wound up and realized we have a milquetoast, do-nothing sheriff and mayor? That they're basically like the liberals. They just want to be in power. They don't really care. I actually believe that Alvin Bragg. Brown and Nat Glover would have had that, would have handled that campaign coming to Jacksonville. I think our mayor and our sheriff, again, are milk toast. Do you agree with that?
Brother, don't answer the question from our caller.
Okay. Well, I'm not happy with our sheriff and the decision he made making the issue of not being able to handle what was going to happen with the convention coming here. And as far as our mayor, I'm not happy. There are several things that he has let me down on, and as a conservative, and things that I see for Jacksonville that would have been good. I think tearing down the landing was wrong, moving the statues is wrong, and tearing down the Hart Bridge ramp, which people in the District 4 area, which I represented before and hope to represent again, use that bridge on a regular basis. So, and the fact that he said he would veto the HRO legislation if it passed, and he buckled on that as well.
So there are a lot of things that we're talking about, Don, for the benefit of our callers.
What have they done? What have they done that's conservative?
They haven't. Very simple.
One of the things that I emphasize and so much am anxious to find and to see is that we elect men like Don Redmond and others that have moral, ethical, biblical standards by which we make determinations and decisions rather than based on political pressure and push. Right now, in the city of Jacksonville, we have a mayor that has not taken the stand that he supposedly was going to take as a Republican. It's a rhino. We have a sheriff that, and I would admit to anyone, I think a lot of Mike. I think Mike has done a good job, but I think Mike has gotten himself in a position of the political power brokers in the city that he's having to buckle to their pressure and the pushing. And I'm saddened to see that, quite frankly, because he has he knows better. He has the ability to do better and has in the past. But in this after the last election, he's been put under the thumb, in my most humble opinion, of those that would not have the best in mind for the city of Jacksonville and for our leaders. And so I'm praying that we will put into office Don Redmond and others like that, that are not rhinos, but conservatives and willing to take a stand for truth, even if they might get demeaned and denied the opportunity to take a stand in a forceful fashion to make things happen that would be conservative for our city. But I am thankful that you called. And keep on praying, and be sure and vote. And as we vote, we need to vote for men that God would have in office that's going to take a stand for truth. Thank you so much for your call. Brother Don, one of the things I think we see in the caller's intent and thought there, we have those that are in office that rather than taking a stand for what they were elected to do, they're willing to knuckle and buckle in for what is prominent and what is what seems to be putting them in a position for future elevation of position, politically speaking.
They let politics control their actions. That is exactly right.
Right.
I mean, and I think the sheriff and the mayor are so tight together. I really think that the mayor runs the sheriff.
Yes.
And
yes, I've seen
the sheriff's
that.
Not going to do anything against what the mayor wants.
I've seen that exactly. I think it goes back to a deeper scenario than that. I think it goes back to those that are the power brokers in our city. I call them the mafia from the south, of South Florida. And that mafia group, that's the political power brokerage firm that ran the campaign for both of those men.
Yes.
And as a result of that, there's a oneness in goals and aspirations. And that's what's bothersome to me.
And what's so sad is the Chamber of Commerce is right in there with them. They jumped right in with them. And they have a city council now that goes along with everything they want. You don't have anybody. We got maybe one person that I can think of, two sometimes, on the city council that will take a stand for the city of Jacksonville and what is right for their constituents out here. The rest of it, you know, the mayor has them under control. And I mean, you have you got four social workers on the city council. Three of those get money from the city, state, and federal government. So they're not going to take a chance on losing their money by going against the powers.
Speak to that, if you would, Don. You said four social workers on the city council now. One of your main opponents happens to be in that category.
My main opponent is a social worker. He's never, done anything other than social work. And in his Facebook page, one of his statements was the reason he wants to be on the city council is so that he can appropriate more money to social programs. Well, these social programs are not working in most cases. I mean, there's some good that comes out of some of them. But what you have is a lot of high-paid social workers, you know, skimming off the top of before it goes to do any good.
Well, just about every time we turn around, the city is wanting to set up a new commission or a new authority or a new whatever and have somebody to head it up, pay a salary. They then, within 6 months, need a larger staff, and they increase it until you find there's mega dollars going out for specified groups of social workers, like you just mentioned.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason we need men in office with integrity, men that's going to represent us as a city and as a people without bowing to political correctness and making decisions based upon how is it going to ingratiate self and or help his friends or relatives or neighbors or buddies in their business or in their commissions or jobs that's been appointed by the city. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood and Don, greetings.
Greetings.
The convention couldn't go through. I'm getting a feedback. What is that?
Oh, at the radio?
Yeah. Okay, the convention couldn't go through because the left were determined that it was not to go through. They are manipulating the virus. They had a great victory, and they managed to persuade the president to close down the country. That never happened yet. It didn't have to happen. It was just I tell you that it happened. And now that it closed down to be opened up back, they are determined that it's not to be opened up. And as you are saying, that they are interested in allowing the country to suffer to get their hand. I would say not only just want the country to go down to nothing, to be destroyed, but they have a vested interest in destroying it. We saw what the last president did. We saw that they did everything to destroy the economy of America and to bring it down. And China rise up till almost to take off. And now they are raging. And the rage that we see going on now is not just personally against President Trump. It is because of their agenda. He's dismantling their agenda. God raised him up at this time because we couldn't choose we didn't choose him. We, in answer to prayer, God raised up President Trump at this time to stand in the gap. And the pushback that he's getting is because of the agenda. They think they have arrived. Is the years of planning and waiting on America, waiting to get America to lose its freedom and to come down, waiting over the years, 50 years ago, and gradually coming. It has reached a place now where they are convinced that they have arrived and this is our time. I think we really Americans need to take the conservatives, so-called conservatives, some of them, they need to realize that they are at a serious position now where the left think they have arrived to control the country, take over America, be destroyed, of course. They need to be destroyed for them to get control and to hand it over into the global. This is what they need because America is the only problem. Other countries that pose no problem for the global, just America, and the time has come. So we need to be very, very serious in prayer because only God, we thank God for those who are working and speaking up like Dr. Youngblood and a few others. The church is silent. The church that should be playing a vital role is like fast asleep about what is going on. So only God can help us. We have, just like God intervened in 2016, we need his intervention again in 2020 if we must, if our freedom will go on a little more based on God's program. Thank
Absolutely.
You,
I couldn't have said that any better myself. Thank you so much for your call. We need to recognize, as our caller just stated, that it was God's divine intervention that put President Donald J. Trump in office in 2016, and it's only through God's divine intervention that can put him back in office November of the 3rd of this year. So we need to pray. We need to go back to the Word and recognize what God can do if we'll simply go before him and confess our sins and the sins of our nation, asking him to heal our land. Brother Don, I'm thankful that you could be with us today and we could talk about these issues. Out of the things that you see taking place on a national level and on a local level, talk with us for a moment for our listeners to understand what you consider the top three things that you would want to accomplish once you're elected in the 4th District for the City Council in Jacksonville. What are the top three things that you see that needs to be accomplished and that you would like to have the privilege of being a part of?
Well, the economy is going to be a major thing, especially, you know, as we overcome this virus. I'm sure we will in time. Hopefully not a long time, but because the longer we go, the way we're going, the worse it's going to be. We have a lot of businesses that didn't get started back up when the shutdown happened. I was shut down for 6 weeks, so you know it's tough to get started. A lot of them didn't get started back, but that is one of the main issues: jobs and of course. Crime issue. I mean, we got so many murders in Jacksonville. People are becoming scared to get out on the street, afraid to drive across town because people are getting shot. So we're going to get a handle on this.
Do you feel that is because of drugs or because of gangs?
It's gangs and drugs. That's right. I mean, the police will tell you that. The sheriff will tell you that. I'm a member of the Sheriff's Watch where I've gone to meetings for 20 years. I've been going to meetings every month and listening to the reports of different issues. The problem is with our youth. I mean, there's so many of them out on the street with nothing to do. Some of them are kicked out of school. We started an out-of-school suspension program at one time and was going good. And helping to fight crime instead of putting kids out on the street as they're kicked out of school for misbehaving or whatever, they would go to a out-of-school suspension program where they would have do their schoolwork, have counseling, and everything that they need to continue on with an education. They get away from their education when they're kicked out of school. They get into crime when they're kicked out of school. They get out there with their friends that just didn't want to go to school and become a gang member. I mean, I've heard stories of gang members as young as 10 years old. And they start with their big brothers being a gang member, and they see all this stuff going on. And, you know, the sheriff has some good men working for him and some good departments with leaders in those departments that are looking at conquering some of these issues. But their hands are tied in so many cases as to what they can do. The battle that is raging against our police right now has got to stop. The police have got to be able to do their work, or we'll never get to that.
If I could interrupt for a moment, do you think that could be part and parcel of what you see taking place nationally with the push to defund police departments and to denigrate law enforcement and to simply ignore the rule of law as citizens on the streets as well as on a national level with the political agenda?
Yes. You know, it comes from national laws. I mean, our government should be able to step in when you have local law enforcement agencies, local mayors or governors even, that will not uphold the law in their state or in their cities. We've got to have control from the top when these things happen that they refuse to handle.
Absolutely. And when you see in a city, when cities across America, including the city of Jacksonville, when Black Lives Matter comes into the city and they have their marches, the demonstrations, and you find the mayor and the sheriff and other top leaders joining with them and bowing with them and marching with them, it gives the thugs in the street the idea that they can just run rampant and do what they want to do. Am I saying that right, or is that what you said?
It's just like you mentioned before, when you discipline your children, if you join in and let them do whatever they want, you know, you've lost it. You've lost control of your child. In this case, they've lost control of being able to enforce the laws, the laws we have. We have laws to govern.
If you ignore the law and you don't enforce the law, it's going to get out of hand.
That's right.
Don, another question. We have, the mayor has instituted in our city a mask law, or mask rule, that you must wear a mask. Now, our governor has not done so. The mayor has. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to minimize or minusculize or in any way make it seem as though COVID-19 is not serious. It's serious, it's dangerous, it's deadly. But when you analyze it in comparison to the annual influenza, when you analyze it in relationship to pneumonia and other major factors that take lives each season, I don't know that we need to be any more petrified or frightened about COVID-19 than any of the others. But it's the first time in the history of America, Don, that we've come in with governmental officials forcing the citizens to sequester themselves, to in some way quarantine themselves, or be forcefully quarantined, or to be forced to wear a mask. And my position is, Don, if they can force you to wear a mask when the vaccination comes, they can force you to be vaccinated. And I'm against either of those. And what is your position? Is it the government's position? Is it the government's authority? Is it the government's position and authority and responsibility to protect us from ourselves, to force us to wear masks, or to force us to be vaccinated? What is your position on that? Not that you would necessarily be in that position on the city council to make that final decision, but I just want our listeners to understand your position on that.
Well, I'm a strong believer in personal rights. I'm a strong believer in property rights.
Yes.
You know, if I have a business and I want to govern it a certain way, and if people don't want to come into that business the way I govern my business, then that's their choice. I should have the same choice when it comes to wearing a mask. They're taking away my personal rights when they tell me that I have to wear a mask in any place. You know, a business, if they choose to run you off by making you do something that you don't want to do, that should be their choice. But I don't think that our government should have the right to control you to that point.
Well, one of the things that's so antithetical from my position is, and I don't agree with it, the Supreme Court said a number of years ago, Roe versus Wade, 1973, that a woman has the right over her own body to control her body. If that is true for a woman in the realm of abortion, murdering an infant in the womb, why aren't we in the same position as citizens, free citizens, to say we have a right to make a decision for our bodies, for what we do, for our own health, of what we want to do in relationship to wear a mask or not to wear a mask? When they keep saying now Don, when they keep on telling us the number of the COVID cases increasing, it's because we have exponentially increased the number of testing. And with so many tests out there that are false positives or false negatives, and with so many of these test kits that are, malfunctioning, the more we have in testing, the more we're going to show as cases. But my question is, they say we've got 1,000 more cases, 10,000 more cases. How many of those are in the hospital? How many of those are on ventilators? How many of those are on medications? How many of those are under a physician's care? And in most of the cases, 99.999%, they're not.
Yeah.
So it's simply, and the general public does not understand that the COVID pathogen is also the same pathogen that is the umbrella for pneumonia, for the flu, for common colds, et cetera. And so if you test positive, that doesn't mean it's COVID-19 as they're rating it today.
And when a person recovers, they don't take their name off the list.
That's right. It's still a case.
The list is just growing bigger and bigger.
That's right.
Like you have all these people out there that have it, and you don't anymore. So.
In fact, the number of cases now of deaths have dramatically gone down. It is less than 0.25% as far as the mortality rate. And yet we hear that is one of the major reasons that we can't have voting in person. That's another thing I want to talk about, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond. Don Redmond is a candidate for District 4 for the city council in Jacksonville. Don, there's a push across America by the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats to have voting by mail, universal voting by mail. It is my most humble opinion that shortly before the election time, there's going to be a major supposed uptick in COVID-19 cases that's going to make it be, as the Democrats said, an impossibility to have in-person voting, that they want to then convert everything to by-mail voting. Yeah. Is there a problem with mail-in voting, and would that work in Jacksonville? Would that work across the nation, or does that allow the Democrats to steal the election?
Well, the way that they are proposing it would allow the Democrats to steal the election. Now, the way that it works now with the mail-in balloting is safe. I think it's very safe.
We have to request the ballot, to sign for the ballot. Yes. Brother Don, we've got about 45 seconds left in our broadcast today. I want you to take these last few seconds, tell people how they can vote for you, why they need to vote for you, how they can reach you, how they can help you in these last few days before the primary.
Thank you, Brother Gene. I'm Don Redmond, running for City Council District 4 in the south side of Jacksonville. I served in that seat for 8 years. And was replaced by the current city councilman who is dropping out to run for another office. I am running to finish out his term, 3 more years. But you can reach me or go on my website and check me out, votefordonredmond.com. Or you can call me on my cell phone, 626-9307 at any time. If you'd like to help me by waving a sign, we'll be doing that. Or going door to door.
Ladies and gentlemen, voteforDonRedmond.com. VoteforDonRedmond.com. That's the website. Go there. Look him up. Press the donate button. Call and see how you can get involved by waving a sign, being part of his team. We need to put Don in District 4, City Council, Jacksonville. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.